Hello, ladies, and welcome to the Grove Podcast. I'm Brittany West, and I'm a part of our Grove team here in Atlanta. And we just love that you consistently track along with us for continual truth rooted in God's Word, brought to you by some of our favorite women. Today, we have such a special treat for you. Longtime friend of the Grove, Dawn Cherie, and visionary Shelley Giglio are sitting down to have a discussion about being the hands and feet of Jesus. Their conversation does more than just invigorate the spirit of evangelism, but it actively promotes a desire for each of us to become more and more like Christ. You are going to be so glad you tuned in today. So without any further delay, here's their conversation.
Here we are on the Grove Podcast, and I'm here with my friend Dawn Cherie. It's the best thing in life to be sitting across from Dawn Cherie, because we could be doing this at a coffee shop and we don't even need these microphones.
That's
but right. Here we are instead, sitting with mics in front of our faces. And so I guess we'll just talk about good things.
I'm
like
so
we
happy.
Would anywhere else. And
thanks
I love it so
me.
Much. So grateful that you're here.
Thank you.
I thought
for
today it would
today.
Be fun. We've had a lot of moments together over the last few years in particular. And I love that. I love that God seems to be growing our friendship, which is really fun for me.
Me too.
But what I keep noticing about you and Rich, and just the way you guys have grown your church, Vu, in Miami, is that you are such lovers of people. When I'm around you, it feels infectious. Like, I just want to love Jesus more, obviously. I think the way that you love the Lord is so beautiful, and it radiates from you. Every pore, every blink of your eyes, you can see that Jesus is so adored by you. And it's really sweet. But I also love that when you turn and look at people, you look at people with such value, with such honor, not because they've earned anything with you, but just because God's loved you so much, it feels that when you love your people, you love them with a pure heart. What is all of that? Like, where, I know scripturally that's who God's created us to be, but when in life have those dots all begun to connect in you?
I think that community has just shaped my life from the first day I was born. I used to feel strange talking about the incredible parents that God gave me, because I realized that not everybody has that story.
Yeah.
But over the years, I've come to the point where I'm like, no, this is a very important part of just the grace of God in my life.
That's
that
true.
I've been loved extravagantly by my mom, by my dad, and from a little girl, I was a part of a church community that wasn't fancy and wasn't massive, but was authentic and full of a lot of love and a lot of encouragement. I had people, you know, like I didn't grow up with uncles and aunts who were blood relatives. I grew up with uncles and aunts who were a part of church with me.
Yeah.
Who were just like my uncles and my aunts, who were family, the only family really that I knew. And it was their love that really shaped my life. And so I think that kind of my perspective on people has just come from the way that I've seen the people around me treat others.
Yeah.
I think anytime I'm with my parents, when I go back to Shreveport,
yeah.
I know that Texas is very precious to
Texas
you.
I love Texas forever.
Yeah, it's a recalibration for my heart.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is what really matters, that every person I come in contact with by watching my dad, like, stop and look into the eyes of people, you know, whether you're in a coffee shop and somebody's handing you a latte, or filling up gas, or whatever you're doing, like understanding that those chance encounters, they're not chance.
That's
that God
right.
really does order our steps.
That's right.
That His word is true. And I think when we understand the intentionality of the God we serve, like, it kind of awakens us to the value of the moment.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that the world is intrigued by that. When they see Christ followers live with intention and just leaning into people, I think it kind of arrests them. Because Jesus said it's our love for one another that's going to actually show the world who God is.
That's it.
And I think that sometimes we overcomplicate it. And I just find myself continually being reminded of the words of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Just come back.
Yeah.
Come back to this one main thing. Let's love God. Let's love people. Let's celebrate. Let's honor. We live in a culture that is anything but honor. And so when we go into dark places and we start to honor people,
right, you
know, and speak life over them, and pull out the good, it's so countercultural, you know,
well,
takes
and I think what it's
away.
Done for you guys, you know, I had the chance just to be at VU recently, Surprise visit wasn't a planned thing. We just, Lou and I happened to be in Miami.
It. Please keep doing it.
And just came for a Sunday night service, and we were so blessed to be there. But the feel of your church feels like the feel of you and Rich. Mm. And I think that's part of why it's so beautiful to me. Because I was saying to some of the girls that you have around you in these days who were here with you, I was talking to them last night about your church and just how it feels. And I was trying to describe it with words. And I was like, it feels like that no one shined themselves up and put on something glossy and came to church to present themselves as completed works. But it feels like a collection of brokenness and shards.
Thank you.
That all came into one space, knowing that the only healer, Jesus, had the possibility, it's going to make me cry, of actually transforming their lives. And when you sweep up shards of glass, I don't know if you've ever broken anything in your kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
I do it on the regular, sadly.
I do it.
The other day I broke a vase and I was like, man, that went everywhere. But shards of glass are really beautiful because they're reflective.
Wow.
They're broken. And you think, well, broken's not that beautiful. But when you sweep it all up into one place, it's actually really beautiful if the right light is reflecting on it. Mm. And I was thinking how descriptive that feels of your community at VU. It feels like nobody there is all put together. Nobody there knows that that is even really the goal.
Good.
It feels like the people there know I have all kinds of brokenness in me because I'm human, because I live on a broken planet. I'm being redeemed strength to strength, day by day, Psalm 84, that I am being put together in the moment, for the moment, and that God will hold me together by his power and his will and his authority, and he will sustain me today. And then tomorrow, we'll do it all again. Mm. And I think all that comes from you and Rich, because that's the way I see you live. But now I've seen it affect thousands of people in a culture called church. How beautiful is that?
God's so good.
I mean, that
God's
is just...
God's so good. And it's deeply encouraging that you sense that, because we don't want people to walk in feeling like, oh, I could never be a part of this.
Yeah.
We want people to walk in going, we're
all broken. So many people at church
broken.
Feel discounted before they ever arrive.
Yeah.
Like,
they do.
Oh, I'm not even qualified.
Yes.
And I'm like, who said there were qualifications?
No.
I don't understand. This is for you.
Yeah.
You're invited, and I just feel like your community just carries that so beautifully.
It's really encouraging. And I think for us, we have a deep conviction that we're just all on a journey together.
Yeah.
You know, none of us have arrived. We won't until we get to heaven.
Yeah.
We say at VU, home is always a journey. And so every week, it's not about like just trying to do everything in one gathering. It's just, hey, this is another step.
Yeah.
There's a song we just wrote at VU, and the words just say, brick by brick, day by day, we're living your story.
Yeah.
And so I think when we realize it's not even our story to begin with.
Yeah.
And that's our prayer for people, because the thing that keeps us going are the stories of people finding Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, we want to bring people that are far from God close to him. And that's a journey that takes a lifetime of following Jesus. But that broken part, I think if we're not careful, we can just think that our testimony is a one-time experience with God. But really, for me and for everyone around me, like, healing is a lifetime experience
with
Jesus.
Right. Yes.
You know, there's still broken pieces in my life that God is faithfully picking up and treasuring. I love that he counts our tears, that he cries with us, you know, something that I've really been thinking about lately. Just he comes and he cries with us and he meets us where we are. And
I love the scripture that says he understands, fully understands what we endure.
Yes.
You know, I love that he wasn't just God. He could have just been God in heaven and saved us without ever becoming us.
Yes.
But instead, he decided to truly understand us by being in a broken world and living a pure life. And I'm like, there is something so tangible in my daily relationship with him, knowing that I'm not talking to a God who doesn't understand.
Mm.
It is like I'm talking to someone who does. And so when I just say this breaks my heart, or this, I feel so wounded from this, or this is just so difficult for me to understand, he also understands.
He does.
And there's that resonance of, you know, when you're looking at a friend's eyes and they're like, oh, I get it. It's like I'm looking in my father's eyes and he's looking back at me going, yes, I get it.
I get it.
And there's just something so pure in my heart about that moment of him understanding. So
same. I love what you said about that he lived it.
Yeah.
Because to me, the thing I've been meditating on a lot recently is I think in our day and age, people miss the complete message of Jesus because we are forgiven. And the blood, there's nothing more powerful than the blood of Jesus in Calvary. But 3 days later, he resurrected a new life.
There we go.
And if we just focus on forgiveness and a prayer and don't realize that now there's a brand new way of living while we're here on earth, and we can live in a brand new way because he actually walked on the earth for 33 years. Not just, 3 days of the ultimate sacrifice.
Right.
So he faced it all.
Yeah.
And that's deeply encouraging for me that, like, I have a new way of living by looking to everything that you did. Because the message of his life, his entire life.
It speaks.
So the loss he went through, the temptation he went through, the dark seasons when nobody
knew. The betrayal.
Yeah, the betrayal.
I mean, I always think, well, we have stuff to endure that he would never understand. And that's the part where I'm like, no, he gets it. He truly gets it. Talk to me a little bit about culture. And we're talking about church culture a lot because I feel like I got to see it and be around it with you. And it was beautiful. But talk about the way that you guys do your interaction with just the world culture. And how you believe that the transformative nature of what God's created and done in you can then be exported to people. Because I watch you guys show up in community on Saturdays and serve your community so beautifully, intentionally, deciding that you're going to give your lives away, choosing to not stay home and do what feels best for you on a Saturday, but to get your life out there and to say, hey, we are the church and we want to show up for our communities. We believe a lot in that here. We do a whole process of loving Atlanta well year round. So we believe in it too. I think those kinds of things are amazing for people to see. Christians who really say that their lives have been transformed by love, actually loving their city and serving their city is something beautiful that people can't discount. No. It's like, wow, there's the church showing up again to serve these people who need to be served. I just think it's beautiful the way that God's transformed you guys in a way that you've become servants of your city. So talk about those two interactions of culture.
Yeah, I think that before we started VU, we would do days where we would go and serve our community. And we've always said, we can't change our city. So you have to kind of lay that expectation down. Like we can serve our city and God can change our city.
That's it.
And so when you start to serve, God starts to move. And whatever your expectation is of influence, you need to understand any influence comes with a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And if you want to have real relationships in your life, what I've come to realize is to have deep relationships, it takes sacrifice.
That's it.
It takes investment. It's not just the memories and the weekends away or the, it's I am investing this time and it's costing me something. And to be a part of community, it costs you something. Mm-hmm. The sooner you can realize that, the more you realize the harvest as you actually sow and sacrifice.
That's right.
And so I think for us, for Rich and I, we understand that it's going to take sacrifice for us to continue in every season of our life to engage in our community. Mm-hmm. There are going to be nights we don't feel like going to that dinner.
Right.
There are going to be days we don't feel like going to that birthday.
Right.
Or being at that ballpark. Or being at that event, or having that coffee date. Plenty of days on a weekly basis where we don't feel like it. But it's that sacrifice that actually plants seeds that then you don't even know when those seeds are going to grow,
right?
Because I know you've seen it over the scope of your life. Sometimes it's 10 years. Sometimes it's 20 years before you ever see the fruit of those seeds, those words of love, that encouragement. You may have thought it just ran off their back. And didn't plant anywhere. But you see that God's faithful if you just decide to step in. And I think that's kind of where Rich and I are at, is our church is now going on its 7th year. And it can be very easy to insulate yourself and go, well, we've been married for 15 years now. We've got our 3 kids. Our nights are full. Our days are full. We've got a lot of work to do on the church. But we can't stay there because we love our city.
That's it.
You know, and we want people that are far from God to come close to him. Yes. So we got to go where the people are. Yeah. And I think that what the world is looking for is they're just really looking for people that live out what they believe.
Yeah.
Because people say a lot. You know, IG, you can scroll and you can get about 2,000 ideas for your soul and your spirit, you know.
In about 4 minutes. Scroll.
Everybody's got like two sentences of life-changing, pow, I gotcha, here's my dynamite. And I love it. It's great. But the truth is that I think the world is really looking for flesh and blood.
That's it.
Walking out, you know, I love what the word says. You know, your life is a letter that the world can read simply by looking at you. So even without saying the name of Jesus, people see the power of Jesus in you. And it's the littlest things that the world is looking for. We had a conversation in my small group the other night. One of the guys in my small group, he's a businessman. He goes, for me, being the light of the world, it's when my, you know, assistant comes and says, hey, they want to meet with you, but I'm just going to tell them you're not here. Saying, oh, no, don't. Don't tell him not here.
Yeah.
White lies. He said it's not so much the massive compromise. It's the little stuff that's actually the big stuff. You know, that my eyes aren't going to watch things that are impure.
Yeah.
That my mouth is going to speak life. It's not going to tear down.
So
I think
beautiful.
That sets you apart. If you'll just stay true, live out the message of Jesus. Don't just, you know, speak it.
That is so good. And I watch you do that so well. I watch you guys, you know, wander through your life, whatever the day holds. And, you know, for us, both of us, I think every day looks different.
It does.
They're hardly ever the same. It's not real predictable. The encounters are never planned.
No.
It feels like I'm just randomly meeting people. Louis used to laugh and say about me all the time, why does everyone talk to you? Why do it's like you're a magnet. You just walk in a room and people start talking to you. And I'm like, I'm not really sure what that is. But what I've found it to be is opportunity.
Yes.
And I'm like, if you're going to talk to me, well, I have something to say.
Yes.
So I'm so glad that you have entered this conversation with me for whatever random reason.
Yeah.
You look like my cousin, or will you look about the size that I'm buying this for my mom? Is this the right size? I mean, whatever encounter, you know, at the grocery store, thank you so much for bagging my groceries.
Yes.
And then I'm in a conversation with someone. And I just try to not, without bowling over people with the name of Jesus.
That's right.
I've never found that to be an effective plan.
No. Nope.
I've just tried to plant seeds of love and hope and of joy and people. And one of the greatest compliments of my life, and I know it's true of yours, is that people look forward to you showing back up.
That's great.
I hope that lady comes to the coffee shop today.
Wow.
I hope that lady comes to buy the grocery store on her way home from work, because she does that a lot. I really hope that she picks my checkout line.
Mm.
I mean, when you start feeling people wishing you came.
It's incredible.
Wishing you came. I'm like, thank you, God. You are making a mark. And people might not yet know that it's you.
Yeah.
But in time, I trust they will.
Yes.
And then I'll have the opportunity to say the reason you feel the way you feel about me is because of the God in me. It's not me. It's not me at all, but there is something shining from me. And that's the light of the world. His name is Jesus.
It's so true.
I just think that's the way to build life. And I watch you guys do that. I watch you walk to dinner and speak to people along the way. I watch you give honor to the people who serve you in restaurants and not just assume, well, you're here to bring me my food.
Yeah.
But to have an interaction with them that leaves them thinking, wow, I had a lot of tables tonight, but no one nicer than these two.
Well, I think it's a realization in your heart that you can be so focused on who you think God's called you to reach that you step over the people that God has actually called you
That's
to reach
so
out
good,
to.
That's so good, Dawn Cherie, and so true.
You know, who has God called us to love? Everyone.
Yeah.
And he loves us all equally.
Yeah.
And so the value of human life that is God's value has to become our value.
That's so good.
And, you know, positions rise and fall.
Yeah.
They just rise and fall. But we're all loved. We're all children of God.
Yeah.
And I really think that one example, if you decide to be true to who you are and to love without worrying about how you look or how you sound, you can create ripple effects that you don't even realize.
Yeah.
And what's really cool about it is you give other people who are followers of Jesus the courage
To do it
to
too.
Do it.
That's right.
Too.
That's right.
To do it yeah. too. Like to just love and to be honest and to speak life and to not be silent. And like you said, it's not so much saying the name of Jesus, but it's speaking love. And yeah. it creates this unity that's palpable yeah. because Jesus is suddenly
and
invited.
Curiosity brings about the opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
It's like it's almost a beautiful way of creating curiosity in people that they eventually want to know, what is it?
Yeah.
And they'll ask you straight up, what is happening? Who are you? And, you know, it's so beautiful then to get to tell the story of Jesus to people who are truly curious.
Yes.
And instead of, I blazed in with Jesus and then I didn't have anything to back it up. And I think that's so much the way the church sometimes sees spreading the gospel. I'm going to blaze in there in the name of Jesus, whether it's to Africa mm-hmm. or to my neighborhood. And I'm coming hot. But then I'm going to disappear and you'll never see me again or hear from me again. And I'll never have the chance to back up the love that I told you about.
Yeah.
And I love the opposite. I love to love people so well that they have to ask me, what in the world is that?
Yeah.
And when they do, I get a chance to really share with them, you know?
It's a paradigm shift of how you look at people.
Yeah.
Because you can look at people as targets, like, oh, this one encounter, I've got to really drive
or
this home.
Or that it's up to me.
Yeah.
And it's like God's been writing their story long before I arrived.
That's
and will
right.
be writing long
He's
after
so
I'm gone.
Faithful.
He's so faithful.
Don't force it.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, one last thing, and I think this kind of naturally falls out of it, but you get put in a lot of situations, you and Rich both do, that feel like a little bit overwhelming mm-hmm. culturally. Mm-hmm. So now I'm the person standing here at this person who is very well-known's funeral. Or I'm the person standing here at this person who might be super well-known's wedding. Or I'm the person standing here when the child is in distress and I'm now the pastor of this moment. Or go on and on. Life is full of opportunity. Feels to me like for you in particular, and Rich, I've been around some, but not as much probably as I have you, that you never get overwhelmed in those moments. But that you feel like you're exactly the same in that moment as you are in the moment that I'm standing with you at the coffee shop line. Mm. How in the world has God created such a constant flow in your life that big things don't overtake you and small things don't feel too small for you?
It's very encouraging that you would say that because I think probably, you know, the conversations in my heart in moments of pressure, it's just understanding that when you're in the deep end, the yeah. only one who can save you is okay. Jesus. And when I'm in circumstances that I've never been in, you know, and that could be a funeral or a yeah. wedding. It yeah. could be a doctor's appointment for me.
Yeah.
It could be a call that I didn't expect with news that
right.
is unwelcomed in my life. When I'm in the deep end, all I can do is trust Jesus.
Yeah.
And I've learned that I can worry myself until I literally get sick, until my physical body shuts down, or I can decide to go, God, I cannot create a miracle in this moment, and I definitely can't make people love you.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to love you
yeah.
and keep my eyes on you. Get out of my head.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what people think about me. This yeah. isn't a performance.
And it's not about me.
It's not about me. It really isn't.
I think that one yeah. phrase might unlock everything.
That's it. And so when I'm in the deep end, it's not about like, can I swim? It's Jesus, you pick me up and you
yes.
save me every single time. And
that's
so
right.
when Rich and I feel that pressure, it's just that time to zero in on that whisper of the Holy Spirit and that assurance of, Lord, you're carrying us through
that's
this.
Right.
And this, like you said, it's not about us.
Yeah.
It's about the love of Jesus shining through. So how can I get out of the way? So the only message people see is your love.
Yeah.
So obsessing about what I'm going to wear, that's not going to help.
No, it's not.
It's not going to help.
And no one will even remember.
No, they're not. It's not about me.
Right.
You know? Obsessing yes. about how I said this
yes.
or what I just have learned, just be content. I'm a daughter of God, and God's love doesn't change for me based on what I said or how I did or how I performed. He loves me, and crazily enough, he wants to flow his love
so
through
beautiful.
Me.
It's a right? miracle. It's a
so
miracle.
So one of the favorite messages I ever heard, somebody said, you just got to stay clean and empty.
Hmm.
And that's the thing I constantly refer back to. I stay open and empty and understand it's only Jesus. Just, yeah, that deep end is how I often feel in life. But God has never failed me.
That's what I can testify to.
He's never failed.
Not one time have I been in that deep end and drowned.
Yeah.
And if he hasn't done it yet, he probably is not going to do it coming forward. So I'm going to trust him until the day I die.
That's
and when
right.
I see him face to face, I might understand some of it more. I doubt I'll care.
Yeah.
I doubt I'll be like, hey, why was I in that deep end to start with? It probably won't be the first pressing question on my brain.
Yeah.
I think I'll be so happy to see his face that I really won't care what I've walked through before.
Yeah.
But I really just think, and when I look at my history of how faithful he's been to me, that for me to worry and doubt now would be the most ridiculous response.
Yeah, it would be. And I think so often we're focused on outcome.
Yeah.
Because we walk in and you're under pressure, but you have this expectation of how it should turn out.
Right.
The outcome is not my responsibility. Yeah. In fact, I constantly come back to the revelation that's found in God's word. I have to be willing to be made a fool for the gospel.
Right.
It's not about my reputation.
Yeah.
If I'm the odd one out, if I look crazy, the message I carry is a radical one.
Yes.
But the truth is that all God wants from me is my obedience. So I've got to obey and trust and just get out of the way and carry the joy of the Lord. Because oftentimes we carry in, we're in the deep end. It's like, oh, this is heavy, but it's like, but the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yep.
So I got to also carry that joy inside
right.
of me, because the world needs joy.
Yes.
And the people with the biggest accolades and the largest bank accounts, they're lonely and they're empty.
That's right.
And they're searching for that joy.
Yeah.
You know, and when you have joy while you're in the deep end, man, that's what the world's looking
Transforms
for.
Transforms us all.
Yeah.
I'd love to pray for you, Dawn Cherie, as we're ending today. And I know the women and some guys who are randomly listening to the Grove podcast,
yes.
which I know you're there.
Shout out to the guys.
They want to join me in praying for you, because we want God to continue to hold you and protect you.
Thank you.
We want God to guide you and lead you in ways that are profound. And whatever he has for your future, we believe that he'll be enough for it. So let me pray for you.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you for Dawn Cherie today, the way that she lives. Thank you for the way that you've made her. Thank you that she's realized in her life that she's fully yours right now, fully loved, fully embraced, fully cared for, that there's not one thing that she needs today that you can't provide for her. I love you, God, that you're that way, that you call yourself Jehovah Jireh. You are God, our provider, the God who sees. And so whatever is in her life in these days, you have already seen it, and you're already aware of it, and you're already prepared to act on her behalf. And so thank you today, God. Give us peace from that, knowing that it really, truly is not up to us how we respond or what we say or do, but it's really up to a God who holds us in his hand today. Pray that you would just remind her that she is fully embraced in your love, and that there's not a way she could earn it, even if she tried, and that you would free her to live in the love of Christ today. And just like she spoke about walking through her life, carrying that kind of love and joy and holiness, that you would just radiate through her eyes, through her heart, through her words, as she takes every step that's in front of her. And we trust you that you'll lead her by the Holy Spirit to every person that you intend to her to have contact with, and that you will bring about exactly what's in your heart for those people through her life. I thank you for her and Rich today. I pray favor, blessing, and honor over their lives. And I thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Didn't I tell you? This conversation was so good. When we consider that in order for Jesus to save us, he became us, then left us on mission that we might emulate his nature and character to one another, it can really get you excited about encountering people with intentionality on a daily basis. I know I'll never be the same. Will you help me say a big thank you to Shelley and Dawn Cherie for sharing so candidly with us? Connect with Dawn Cherie and her husband, Rich, to see all that they're doing to impact the city of Miami at VU Church. And as always, our team would love to invite you to stay connected to all things Grow. So if you haven't already, like, share, and subscribe to the Grow podcast. You are going to want to know when we're releasing new episodes. You can also keep up with us and all that we're doing both at thegroveonline.com and Instagram at PCC_thegrove. Well, we absolutely don't take it for granted that you decided to join us today, and we're so positively grateful that you did. And we invite you to join us again here next time on the Grove Podcast.